Happy New Year from the Christian Worship Hour, where we are rejoicing in Jesus as we begin another new year as the Lord leads us in this ministry. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people. A special part of Dad's day was hearing from you, our viewers. He read every letter we received, and today we do the same. Recently, we received a letter from an inmate. It reads, "It was so nice to hear your message about Jesus' love and provision for me. Your God-focused message was exactly what I was looking for, and I feel is exactly what new believers need to hear. As I sit in my prison cell and I watch this program, I reflect and give thanks and praise to our awesome God." A viewer from North Carolina wrote, "I have been watching your services for a long time now. Pastor Salem always makes me smile and leaves me with such a warm, loving feeling at the end of the service. I miss him, but it is so nice to continue to be able to hear his recorded services. Thank you for spreading the word." We hope today's service about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will be of comfort to you. Open your Bibles for today's message, help for the new year, and God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a very special service because this is our first service in the new year. And so we wish you a happy new year. We just know it'll be a good year, trusting the Lord, walking with the Lord. And that doesn't mean we won't stub our toe and we won't have some troubles and trials, but Jesus will help us to be victorious over anything that comes our way. And so we can enter the new year with a good, firm step, rejoicing in the Lord. We're looking at Psalm 108 today. "Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save me with thy right hand, and answer me." And, O Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we start another year, we started with you. And you've gone all through the year, you know, everything that lies ahead of us. And so we just can place our hand in your hand, and you will lead us. You hold us. We don't hold you. You hold us, and you'll be with us all the way. So we're excited as we start another year walking with our wonderful Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have a really happy song here. Melissa's going to sing "Mansion Over the Hilltop," and you're going to like it. God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. The often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where I'll never grow old. discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of the city. I want a mansion, a harp, a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that
Well, thank you, Melissa. And isn't that a great way to start the new year? Well, God is going to prepare a place. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. And so Jesus is going to come and get us one by one. Or maybe he'll come at the rapture and he'll raise all the dead in Christ. And all of us who are Christians will be changed and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll go home. And we'll see that mansion. And you know what? It'll have your name on it. Oh, God is so good. And that's why I just love to preach, because I got good news, wonderful news. A mansion, a beautiful mansion that will never grow old, and there'll be no more tears. And oh, and I just can, just a great, great thought that we have, the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Well, we have some letters, and I want to thank you all for writing. So many of you write letters, and we read every one of them. And we try to answer questions. If you have a spiritual question, we try to help you with that. And so we just thank you for writing. We thank you for the gifts that you send also, because they help us. And so we want to share some of those letters. I think sometimes people want to hear the letters more than my sermon. But you're going to get my sermon anyway. And so, here I am. They can't take this mic away from me, I don't think. Anyway, we're going to go and read some letters, and then we'll have a sermon. This first letter is from San Francisco, California. It says, "This is my first time writing to you, and it is my 44th birthday." And when I read that, I said, oh boy, I got him beat 50 years. Can you believe it? Half a century. Lord have mercy. Says, "On my 44th birthday, I just want to tell you, you are very much appreciated. I am a Vietnamese man, and one of the things I love about you is that you pray for other countries. I am trying to help the Christian worship hour a little bit. Sorry it's not more. Thank you, and God bless you." And so isn't that a nice letter, celebrating his birthday, sending a gift. And you know, we get a lot of times people say, wish it could be more, it isn't much. But you know, that all adds up. It all counts up. And God knows how much we need, and he'll always provide. Might be a big check, might be a lot of little checks. Doesn't matter. It's the people of God supporting the work of God. Here's one from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. "Thank you for being on TV every week to help those that are lost. I ask that you please pray for me and my family. I pray that your ministry will reach all who are lost and strengthen those who stand by God's word." And then this is the way she closes it. "Thank you for being in my life." Isn't that nice? And you know, we're making friends through this ministry, and we can't see you where you're at all over the world, but we're going to get together someday. By the grace of God, and because we trust in the Lord Jesus, we're going to get together. And won't that be a wonderful time? We are going to celebrate forever and ever. So thank you for this letter. Here's Cape Coral, Florida. "I look forward every Sunday to hear your sermons and listen to the good old gospel music." And so that's what we do. We sing the old hymns, we sing those songs, because they bring back so many memories. And we have a lot of people who are shut-ins. A lot of folks can't get out. Now, here we are in the middle of winter, and they can't get out maybe for a while yet. But we can worship with them, and that can't keep out the television and the radio. And we can worship together around the throne of grace. summer or winter, springtime or harvest, young or old, doesn't matter. Nothing can keep us from the dear Lord Jesus and worshiping Him. And then here's one from Port Orchard, Washington. You just make my day. I wish you were on every day. When I watch you, you just give me the willing to get my Bible out and keep studying. And now I read more now than I have my whole life. I thank the Lord for getting me on the right track. And so, yes, we have to read the Word, and we should read the Bible every day. And just don't read a verse or two. Try to read a chapter at least. And we have a little publication that we put out called The New Song. And it's a Bible study. We put it out every month. And if you want to get a copy of that, you can write to us. And you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And it'll have a Bible study. This is one about the promises of God. And what better study could we have for January than the promises of God? And then you'll also have the sermon topics and the titles and the texts. And, oh, it's a wonderful little thing. We really, and excerpts from other letters, and really ought to charge for it, but they won't let me. You get it free and postpaid, just write in. Here's Oskaloosa, Iowa. And it says, how do I get this fear and doubt out of me that I will spend eternity in hell? Help me, please. And believe me, we wrote the day we got this. And I'll tell you what you can do. You get your Bible and you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 24. And you read where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right that second, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you will never go to hell, but you pass from death unto life. John 5:24. Then we send some literature and you can read that, and then we'll keep a correspondence until we get our feet on the ground and we can have the assurance, yes, I'm going to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I belong to Jesus, and He belongs to me, and He holds me in His hand, and He'll never let me go. Oh, it's great to have the gospel. Here's Faustin, Minnesota. I'm 91 years old and still go to work every day at our local school. This is a lady writing to us. At my local school. My hearing isn't as good as it used to be, so I'm not hearing the sermons in our local church. So now you are my pastor nearly every Sunday over TV. You come in good and clear. I hear every word. Thank you, a friend in Minnesota. And so here you are. See, that is, we do get letters, and they have a little bit difficult of hearing. You can get into that TV and you can turn that baby up, and boy, you come through loud and clear. And I got a letter from one man, and he lives in a home of a lot of apartments, and he says, I open my door and I turn the TV as loud as I can so everybody will hear your sermon. I bet he's making a lot of friends. Here's Wasugal, Washington. Please send the book to me of the 8 verses that justify suicide. Now, this dear lady has got a little different twist to it, because we do not justify suicide, because suicide is a sin. It's self-murder. But we have a little booklet entitled, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Can He Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes, absolutely yes. And what we talk about is we have the promises that if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've received Him as our personal Savior, if we commit suicide, we will go to be with the Lord. It's a little booklet, 10 pages, and every bit of it's out of the Bible. I'm not telling you I went to heaven, died and went to heaven, came back, or had visions or something like that. It's just the Scriptures, what God says. And so if you want a copy of it, you write to us, and we'll send a gift if you can. If you can't, we get a request from people on Social Security, and we get some from the prisoners and all. And so we'll be glad to send it to you. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour, and our box is 2002, can remember that, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. Here is one that I really like, North Fort Myers, Florida. You make such a difference in my life. Thank you and thank God. Well, you know how that happens? We preach the Bible, we sing the Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, takes the Word of God and applies it to people's hearts and helps them come to Jesus. And He might be talking to you right now, and you should just pray, "Dear Jesus, I've committed my sins, and I've asked You to forgive me my sins. Come into my heart, and I promise to forsake my sins," because Jesus always taught repentance. And repentance means feeling sorry for sin, but it also means turning from your sins. And so you turn to the Lord the best you can. You'll fail lots of times, and when you do, you just ask Jesus to forgive you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And so you just ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, or maybe you'll fall down a half a dozen times, 100 times. His grace is sufficient. Just go back to Him and never give up, never give up. One more letter, Colorado Springs, Colorado. And here's another lady that writes in. She says, "Well, I made an error in deductions in my checkbook. That left me able to give you some help. I do so appreciate the items you send me every month about the Christian Worship Hour. I am old, 99 this past October." I'm jealous of her. 99 this past October. She says, and here's what she writes, "It must be because of my Norwegian background." Well, we've got one of our girls in the office. We have 4 girls in the office, and one's Norwegian. And she's got that tucked up on the wall. She is so proud of that. Norwegian, 99 years old, supporting the Christian Worship Hour. Well, it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. You can help us in this work. And believe me, we need your help. And because we are not underwritten by any organization or corporation or anything like that, we're depending on God's people. And so we just ask you now to pray about it and see if God wants you to give. And if so, you write to us. It's a Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. Easy to remember. 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can also get us by ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can pay anywhere from the world. You get on that ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you can find, it'll say PayPal, and wherever you are, we'll get it in a United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. If you'd like to get our little new song, I know you'd love it, and you write to us for that. It's one of the promises of God for January, this month of January. It'll comfort you. That's where the strength comes from, the wonderful Word of God. And then if you want to get maybe some CDs or DVDs, we send them on a free will offering basis. And as you give, always remember this. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That means they audit our books. They audit every bit of it. And they check to see that we make receipts for everything. And I'll tell you something else they do. They check to see how we spend the money. So if you give to this, or to the Christian Worship Hour, you can count on it going for the cause of Christ. And so we're praying that you'll just make it a matter of prayer and just do as God leads you. So I'm going to pray, then Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays it upon your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who stand by and have helped us now for over 37 years. And we just pray that you'll bless them for their giving. And just, Lord, work in the hearts of people, and may your will be done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan, and God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music. We're reading from John chapter 10 today. And in this passage, in this chapter rather, Jesus tells of how that he is the good shepherd and how that he came and comes and gives his life for the sheep and how that God had raised him from the dead. And it's a beautiful passage because it shows us how much God loves us, so much that he gave his son Jesus. Then Jesus, born of the Virgin, we just had Christmas and celebrated the coming of Jesus into this life, into this world. And he came and was in the flesh, except that he had no sin. And in that sin went to the cross. And he died and he was buried, and the third day he was raised from the grave. And then he talks in this 10th chapter of how that he is a shepherd. And as this wonderful shepherd, he watches over us and he cares for us and he helps us. And then he tells us he holds us, so we never need to fear about losing our salvation. So let's look at it. In beginning with the 27th verse, said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He knows us personally. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Every hair is counted, and if you lose a hair, it doesn't mean you lose one hair, it means you lost a number. A number is missing. Can you imagine it? So I know them, he says. And verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Don't forget that. Never perish, but have everlasting life. And he says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus holds us. We don't hold him. Sometimes people dying and they'll say, "Hold on to Jesus, hold on to Jesus." No, you just lean on Jesus. He's holding you. See? And then it says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father's are one." And so he holds us in his hand. And we're going to pray now. We're going to thank him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. That Good Shepherd that was raised up again. And eventually ascended into heaven. And he's in heaven today, but he still has all the marks of the cross in his hands and his feet and his side. He'll always have that body forever and ever. And we'll see him in the flesh, risen flesh, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And so we just pray that everyone that are watching today, everybody that's listening on shortwave, oh, God, help them to ask you to come into their heart and take away their sin, because you will never come into their heart until they ask you and invite you. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in," into his life, into his heart, not just his head, where everybody knows Jesus, but into your heart where we accept Jesus, and I'll give them eternal life. May multitudes do that right now. And then, Lord, in our prayers today, we're praying for the brothers and sisters in Christ in Sudan. We know that many of them have given their life and they laid their life on the line, and they would not deny to the dear Lord Jesus, and they died for him. And so we pray for the families, Lord. We don't pray for those that gave their life, because they're in your presence, and for them it's gain, great gain. But we pray for those left behind, that you'll specially bless and help and take care of them, the little children, oh God. And we just pray, wish you could come right away and return and put an end to this trouble. But in the meantime, we lean on you. So we just pray you'll bless us now in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song, and you're going to really like this, "Someone to Care." God bless you, Barb.
In the world.
cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. When your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who's a friend to you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you.
Well, thank you, Barb, and we can sure say an amen to that. And I thought while Barb was singing, I'll bet there's somebody on a bed of sickness. I'll bet there's somebody shut in. I'll bet there's somebody who's the dearest on earth has been taken away from them and gone on to heaven maybe. And others who may be struggling. And there it is, that wonderful message. Jesus cares. Jesus loves you. Jesus will help you. Just lean on him. Put all your weight on the Savior. And oh, that's why I love to preach, because there's news. There's good news. That's what the gospel is. Good news, not only just the salvation of the soul, and that's all important because that's eternal. But while we take this pilgrimage and this journey below, we can have the Lord to help us and strengthen us. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so we're starting now. This is our first week in this new year. And so we're wondering, what does the year hold? And of course, we don't know and don't have any idea, really. And really, it wouldn't do us much good if there's some things maybe happening. We couldn't do anything about it anyway. So it's better not to know. It's just wonderful that the Lord doesn't show us all these things. We just love him and trust him, and he leads us, and he'll be taking us and helping us through this new year. So I put down a looking in John chapter 10. I love the Gospel of John. I tell new Christians, if you want to read the Bible, read the Gospel of John. Start with that. It's just a wonderful. And then, of course, we have the Psalms and we have the Proverbs to help us with life. But, oh, we see Jesus so beautiful in the Gospel of St. John. Well, anyway, we're taking this from the 10th chapter. And there's three things in this 10th chapter that God gives us to help us through this new year. He says three things. He says, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the Son of God. And those are the three things that are going to help us and guide us through this year. So let's look at them. First of all, when Jesus says, I am, he's identifying himself with God. You remember when Moses is in the wilderness and he's by the burning bush and God is commissioning him to go into Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is making excuses because he doesn't know how, he doesn't speak well and all the rest of it. And then he says to God, when I meet Pharaoh, see, no, Moses knew all about Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's court. So he knew Pharaoh. He knew every door there was in the place, in the palace. And so he says, by what authority am I going to tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go? And what does God say his name is? Tell him, I am that I am. I am. And anywhere in Israel among the Jewish people, if you said, I am, they knew exactly he was talking about God. He was God. And so Jesus says, I am three times, he says. I am the door in the seventh verse. When Jesus talked about the sheep, the door of the sheep, everyone knew exactly what he was referring to. Because the sheepfold, and they all had them, they have them right to this day. It's just, it's usually made of stone. It's a round circle thing as a rule. And then on the top of those stones, and they have briars and things like that. So wolves can't jump over this, coyotes can't jump over to the fox, whatever they have. And then it has one opening for the door. And when he looked at the door, it wasn't made out of wood and it wasn't made out of steel. It wasn't made out of iron. There was nothing on the hinges. And the door had nothing there except the shepherd would lie across the doorway. So no sheep could go out. No wolf could come in. He was the door. And didn't Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No man gets into the Father but by me. He's the door. And so this shepherd is there. And he puts it very bluntly. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, the only way into that fold was through this doorway. The only way into the kingdom was through this one way. The only way into heaven is one way. There aren't a dozen ways. We hear people talking about, oh, there's lots of ways to heaven. There's a lot of roads. It's just like heaven is on the top of the hill. And then there's a lot of roads going up the side of the hill. And they all end up at heaven. That's what they teach. You know what Jesus taught? Only one road. One. And if you're not on that road, you'll never get to heaven and you'll never get to God. And I go along with what God has to say. And Jesus says, I am the door, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So get this straight, dear friends. It isn't the church. It isn't a ritual. It isn't good works. It isn't paying money. It isn't holding your breath. It isn't being good to your neighbor. The only way into heaven is Jesus Christ. A person. I am the way, Jesus said. He is the door. And he says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The word literally means delivered, safe, and sound. And sometimes, you know, the old preachers, they used to preach, and I'm one of the old preachers out of the old school. I'm not just from yesterday, and I'm not just from last month. I'm from the last century. I'm not even in the 20th, in this century. I'm the last century is where I come from. And the old preachers, they talk about being saved. And then some people say, saved? What do you mean saved? Saved from what? You mean save your breath or save? What do you mean? Well, when you get to the scriptures and you read about Jesus, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about eternal life. Saved from hell is what he's talking about. And so he said that I am that way, and I am the only way, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So he says, if I am the door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. That's freedom we have in Christ. We come and we go. We enter, we come and go because we have freedom in the Lord Jesus. You never have real freedom until you have Jesus Christ, because you have all tied down with the fear and maybe prejudice. And maybe you have habits that are dragging you down. Maybe you have an anger you can't control, and that it masters you. And I know some people that they're so crazy for money that money is their master. They don't master the money. The money masters them, and they are not free. And Jesus says, if you walk with me, I'll give you, it's a narrow way. And you say, oh, it's a narrow way. But that then it broadens out and opens up, and we have freedom in Jesus Christ. And here's somebody that says, oh, I want the broad way. But pretty soon that broad way gets narrow and narrow, and they die from some of their sins or habits or way they're living. And instead of wide open, it narrows down to nothing, and it ends in hell. So Jesus is the door, and he says, if any man, is that possible? You say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? You can't talk about unpardonable sin because Jesus says, if any man comes, may come in. He says, whosoever will may come. And so people say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? Well, the unpardonable sin can't be committed today. The only time it could be committed when Jesus was here in the flesh, and when he performed miracles, and they performed, and that was by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the enemy said it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was Beelzebub, a dirty, rotten spirit from hell. And Jesus says, you're in danger of committing unpardonable sin. You couldn't commit the unpardonable sin now if you wanted to. If you want to come to Jesus, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what your sins are. And I invariably get it. People will say, you don't know the kind of a life I've lived. Maybe I don't, and I don't care what it's been. Maybe it has been a hard life. Maybe you've gotten into some terrible things. Maybe you just curse yourself and hate yourself. People commit some sins, and later on they hate themselves for those sins. We all have sins we wish we wouldn't have committed. But the Lord Jesus says, if any man, any person, you can come. You can come into that door. You can come into that fold, and you'll be safe from the enemy. You'll be safe from hell's fire. You'll be safe from the devil. You'll be safe in Jesus. But he is the door. He is the only way in. You have to have Jesus. And you have to do more than just know about him. It's got to be more than a head knowledge, because the devil all knows about him. And the demons, when he was here, the demons said, cast us into the swine. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew who he was. The demons of hell all know about Jesus. It's got to be more than knowing about him. You have to have him not in your head, but in your heart. You have to ask him into your life. And then you have that wonderful shepherd. And then you're part of that flock. And I'm going to tell you, don't try any other way, because it'll never work. You'll never get there. You'll never make it. It's only one way. You remember when God told Noah to build the ark? How many doors did he have? One door. One door for everybody to come in. And they all entered. And then God said, shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. In Genesis 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in, shut Noah in. God closed the door. And God is telling us that someday the door is going to close for you. And you won't always have that opportunity. You won't always have that chance. Because I can imagine when the floodwaters came, they were knocking at the door. And Noah says, oh, I'm going to go and let somebody in. Noah couldn't touch the door. It wasn't Noah, it was God's door. And Jesus Christ is God. And he's the only way. And you better go, and you better come right now. You know, I was reading just the other day about in the early 1800s, there were homesteaders in America, and they built log cabins. And the remains of some of those cabins are still to be seen. And there was a man named Mark Pence, and he built a cabin out in the woods. And one day he was out hunting with his 22 rifle. That's just a little gun, a 22 rifle. He's hunting rabbits, going to have something for supper. And he came around the corner, and there was a big bear. And Pence shot the bear, but it just wounded the bear. And the bear was angry and charged on Pence. And Pence ran, and he outran the bear, and he got to the front door, but he couldn't get the latch open. And just a second, and the bear came and took him and killed him, and he was gone. Just think of it. It was just the thickness of a door that stood before him and life, between him and life. Just an inch there, and that was that. He was just a prayer away. He was so close, and yet he perished and he was lost because he couldn't enter that door. Now the Bible teaches us that when we die, the door is closed. God is going to that. He has a time for every one of us to go, and he's going to take, and when he does, the door is closed. That wonderful love of God that we revel in and preach and teach ends. There's no more love of God anymore for that person outside of Christ. God loves until we die, and then if we die in our sins, that love ends. But if we have Jesus as our Savior, that love never ends. It goes on forever and ever. And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There comes a time when you're going to hear it for the last time. That's going to be your last chance. And I'm begging you today to come to Jesus Christ. Enter that door. Don't wait. I am the way. I am the door. And then Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. It can be translated, I am the shepherd, the good. If there's any one figure that represents the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, it's the shepherd. And in Israel, the shepherd was a central figure. Every tribe, all the people had shepherds. They lived with the sheep. They lived off of the milk of the sheep and the lambs and the wool. And they were all many shepherds everywhere. And among those shepherds, sometimes they would hire shepherds. They called them hirelings. And some of the hirelings didn't care for the sheep. And Jesus is teaching this. And he's talking about in Israel, the Pharisees were the hirelings. They were supposed to take care of the people of God, Israel, and they didn't do it. They took advantage of them, and they lived off of them, and they didn't care for them. And here in John, we have the story where they excommunicate the man from the temple. They didn't care for them at all. And so Jesus, and when this man, they execute, put the man out of the temple, wouldn't let him go back, excommunicated him. That was a terrible thing. It wouldn't mean anything to people today, some people today, but in that day, it was a connection with God. And then what happens? Jesus comes to this man, and he befriends him, and he takes him, and he helps him, and he encourages him. He's the good shepherd. The bad shepherds, the hirelings, cast him out. The good shepherd took him in. So he is. Christ is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. Christ is the great shepherd. He cares for his sheep. Christ is the chief shepherd. He'll come again in glory for his sheep, this wonderful sheep. Well, listen to God talk. Listen to Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is an hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catcheth the sheep and scattereth them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus loves us. And upon that cross, we are told that Jesus says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his spirit. And so the good shepherd purchases us from the cross. He pays for our sins. And he loves us. And he loves you. And I don't care what your sin is. And I don't care how old you are. He knows. And when we accept the Lord Jesus, we become his property because he purchased us on the cross. And when we come to him, we belong to him. And so this wonderful shepherd knows his sheep. He knows our name. He knows who you are. Maybe nobody else knows you. He knows that he knows our feelings. He knows our faults. He knows our nature. He knows all about us. And with each one of us in that sheepfold, we have different characteristics because we're all different kinds of people. But the beautiful picture is, it's painted for us in the 23rd Psalm. In verse 1, it says, I shall not want. In verse 6, all the days of my life. He's with us all the days of our life. And so come to the Lord Jesus. Pray, make that prayer, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so he is the good shepherd, and he wants to take you. And then the last thing he talks about is, I am the Son of God. And when we say that, we have to be careful because he is the Son of God and he is God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. And you get into some of these cults and you say, well, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We believe all of our members are sons of God. See, when you come to Jesus Christ, he is the Son. He is God. He's the Son of God and he is God. And we're the sons of God. But there was a time we became the sons of God in time, a certain time we became. But there never was a time Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God. He is from everlasting to everlasting, the Ancient of Days. Before the foundation of the world, there is that wonderful, beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. And so the people, we're told in this 10th chapter, some of the people came to him, and they want him to know. He says, how long to put us in doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you're the Messiah, if you're the Son of God, tell us. In other words, they're asking him, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a hostile crowd, really, but they're asking him, well, tell us, are you the Son of God? And Jesus tells them in the 25th verse, he says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And Jesus refers to the works he has done. He had cleansed the temple. That was a work of God because nobody could drive a Jewish merchant away from his money and cast them out and have them running like rats. Nobody could do that except the power of God. The healing of the derelict at Bethesda. And then the opening of the man born blind, and he gave him sight. These three miracles are all in this same Gospel of John. And he says, I've shown you the miracles. And then there were the claims. I and my Father are one. Jesus told them over and over. And so they just were. The reason they wouldn't believe is because they had their mind made up. They had a certain teaching. They'd been taught something. They had a certain set in their mind, and they would not listen. They wouldn't listen to the Spirit of God speaking through the Son of God. And I wonder where you're at today. I don't know how you've been raised, but you may have been not taught the truth. You may have, unless you've got it from the Word of God, nobody's right unless it coincides with the wonderful Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives himself for these people, and he gives himself for us and died for you and he died for me. And so we have eternal life and they shall never perish. Salvation is a gift. We're not saved by good works. We are not lost by bad works. We are just simply, you can't lose your salvation. The good works can't save us. And if we do something that's sinful, if we belong to God, he'll talk to our hearts and bring us back to himself. But we will never lose that salvation. Rejoice in that. We are safe in God's hands. Remember what he said? No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then you say, somebody says, and he says, well, what if I break away from his hand? And I say to that, are you mean you're stronger than God? Good grief, where are you coming from? God holds all the universe in hand. He holds all of creation in hand. And we don't even know all of the stars in his hand. And we don't even know how many stars there are, except we know that they're compared by the sea, sand by the seashore. Then God says, he compared the two. They're beyond number, and he names them. Oh, every star is named. And he knows your name, and he knows where you're at, and he knows what you're going to do. And so took to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. He came. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he wants to have you come. He says, I'm the door. And I just wonder if you'd entered through that door. You could come through that door right today. I am the shepherd. And have you heard his voice? And his voice is maybe saying right now, you ought not put this off. Maybe some of you are standing there and your mother taught you about Jesus, or some faithful pastor preached about Jesus and you put him off and you did what the devil told you to do. The devil said, don't accept Jesus. Just put it off. Do it another time. Wait, wait. And when you wait, you're saying no. And so you've heard his voice and he wants you to come. And now he's the Son of God. And do you want to reject the Son of God? Oh, my friends, I've been preaching for a long time, and I've seen many people come to Jesus. And when they come, some come rejoicing, and some come just stoic, like a stoic that's just accepting Jesus. It's a transaction. You may have feelings, and you may not have feelings. Now, we're all different, but the main thing is, we are asking Jesus to come into our life and take away our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because God is not going to accept one speck of sin in heaven. And we're covered with sins, and we'll never get in the pearly gates until we receive Jesus. And when we receive Jesus, he cleanses us from all of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says in John, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He cleanses us, and then he covers us with his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we come to heaven's gates, they'll swing wide open, because it's Jesus Christ coming. We are in Christ. And he holds us and he takes us home. And so right now, I hope you'll pray and just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you just to come into my heart. Pray it with me now. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from them the best I can. And I'll walk with you and follow you. And I thank you for saving me, dear Jesus. And I'll make you my Lord. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you've made that prayer, you've been born again. You're a child of God, and you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. We want to help you get started on the Christian life. And now we're going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes that have just prayed to receive you into their life. I pray that you'll give them the assurance and help them to know that they are saved not by feeling, but because you said so. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And now they are the children of God. To those who are on sick beds, to those who are shut in, those who are snowed in for some time now, oh, we pray that they'll just lean on you and know that you're with them, and you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you will do for us in the future. Help us to love you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're praying that you'll have a good day and a good week. We'll be looking for you next week, and we'll just pray for us as we pray for you. Pray that God's will might be done, that Jesus Christ will be honored, that God will be glorified, and his people helped and sinners saved. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.